It is true. We've had a lot of good news on the economy lately.
Businesses have created about 3.7 million new jobs over the last 2 years. Manufacturers are hiring for the first time since the 1990s. The auto industry is back and hiring more than 200,000 people over the last few years. Confidence is up, and the economy is getting stronger.
That, of course, is the President of the United States speaking at a press conference last week. And we've had even more positive signs since then. U.S. retail sales saw their biggest gain in 5 months. The NASDAQ closed over 3,000 yesterday, and the dollar is at an 11-month high. So why do 59% of voters rate President Obama negatively on the economy? That data comes from a new poll from the Washington Post and ABC News. And joining us to answer that question, our friend Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Celeste.
Why this disconnect between all these huge, broad swath of positive economic signs and a negative view of the president?
I know. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? Well, the most obvious answer is gas prices. There's nothing more visceral, nothing that people think about, you know, every time they go to the pump. So that's point one. And I think there is also an underlying ongoing anger at the various banking foreclosure, issues relating to the overhang of the financial crisis. That the president still gets blamed for, whether rightly or wrongly.
Well, let's go a little deeper into that particular kind of anger you're talking about, because this is something that the president has tried to address. He's had a number of initiatives trying to help out homeowners. None of them have been particularly successful. But what could he do between now and November? Does the Justice Department have to bring charges against bankers? Is that the only thing that will satisfy people?
Let me say a couple things about that. First of all, it would have been very helpful. It's a little late now, but it would have been very helpful if the Justice Department had brought charges. As you know, I've argued consistently in my column that the big guys should be brought to account, and they haven't been. And I do believe that that leads to charges on the right of crony capitalism and charges on the left that Obama is protecting the big banks at the expense of the rest of us. Having said that, you know, between now and November, there's not a lot he can do, and he's thrown some Hail Mary passes in this direction of late. There's the mortgage settlement that just happened, and when he made his State of the Union address, he tossed off a few other ideas about refinancing and so on. You know, the problem is that this has all been piecemeal, and none of it's worked.
Right.
And there has never been an attempt to say, hey, this is our housing policy. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to fix this. And that piecemeal aspect, I think, has left people very frustrated.
Well, let's go back to the kind of mood of the American voters, because we have had indicators that there's higher consumer confidence, right? Consumer spending
right.
is up.
People
say they feel better about the economy. How come that doesn't translate into feeling better about the commander-in-chief?
You know, and there's another aspect, just to throw this out there, the stock market is roaring.
Yeah.
And, you know, in eras past, when nothing buoys confidence in eras past than the stock market. NASDAQ's over 3,000. The Dow is over 13,000. It's really quite startling how the sort of engines that would normally get people jumping for joy people almost seem indifferent to them.
So what is it?
I do think a lot of it has to do with gas prices right now, in the here and now. I also think that people have been down for so long that they don't really trust that this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is that the body politic, I mean, we all know that ultimately the economy revives more or less on its own with not that much help from government. Government can help on the margins, but ultimately government can't, you know, upend the laws of economics and change the business cycle. And, you know, in this particular era, the fighting between the Democrats and the Republicans over jobs bills and virtually anything else that might help the economy even on the margin has been really, I think, debilitating to people. And it sent this clear signal that the government is really not going to be able to help you. Now, you know, you can blame that on the Democrats, you can blame it on the Republicans, you can blame it on the president, but basically there is a kind of, you know, you guys haven't helped us, and so, you know, we're not happy with you. And finally, you know, the president always gets blamed. That's just the way it is.
Well, Joe, it's Dan Damon here. I was just going to ask very briefly, we haven't got long, but I just wonder if this is the Republican Party getting what it wished for, despite the pain of the primary process. Of course, they're getting so many headlines, they can get up and say gas prices, gas prices, gas prices. Is that part of it?
Gas prices is kind of all they got. The problem for the Republicans is that it's very hard to say the economy is struggling. Gas prices is pretty much all they've got. And one after another, they get up there and they say, well, yes, the economy is doing better, but it's in spite of the president rather than because of the president, which ultimately in November will not be a winning argument if that's all they've got.
Plus, they've been saying for 2 years that the president's at fault for ruining the economy, so that's a difficult turn to make. That's Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks as always, Joe.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.